Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a special Friday night edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Ammo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
I'm doing all right, you know. Glad to be with you on the show. As always, got a busy show today. First off, you know, I want to say Happy New Year's to everybody who's listening right now or the you know, replay of the show. And, you know, I appreciate the support, you know, over the years. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. And, you know, I really appreciate the support. So thank you again. But with that said, you know, I want to talk about, you know, the hot stove with MLB and how it pertains to the Yankees, Mets, and, you know, the other teams, where we think Bryce Harper and Manny Machado might be going. And, of course, you know, the NFL, you know, the Jets fired Todd Bowles as expected. You know, we'll get into that. We'll talk about, you know, the WWE, the NBA with, as we speak, the Knicks are leading the Lakers 37-25 right now in the first. As the first is about to end, as we're, you know, watching the game live. Lastly, we're going to talk about WWE and the new changes in these past couple of weeks with the McMahons, along with Triple H taking over. So, you know, most importantly, you know, I want to hear, you know, your feedback. Feel free to call in. The number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We would greatly appreciate it. But before I dive into the show, you know, I want to first talk about, you know, a tribute to, you know, the legendary WWE backstage announcer, and that's, of course, Mean Gene Okerlund. You know, he recently passed away. And, you know, he was synonymous, you know, for his backstage interviews with the stars of the 80s and 90s, you know, early 2000s as well. Most notably with Hulk Hogan and Macho Man. And, of course, you know, Hulk Hogan's always like, well, let me tell you something, Mean Gene, you know. And then, yep, you know, he always had those, you know, epic stuff and, you know, like, will you stop it? What's going on here? You know, he always had that, like, you know, that one-of-a-kind voice.
Yeah, and, 1950s voice.
Yeah, man, he was just a great character. Like, his interactions, even with you know, Bobby the Brain Heenan, you know, Gorilla Monsoon, and anybody who happens to be there. You know, he's definitely going to be missed. And, of course, you know, he was a Hall of Famer. He got inducted to the Hall of Fame in 2006. So, as a tribute to him, I'm going to play it.
Great.
So, you know, my condolences go out to his family. So, I'll play it. You guys, check it out right now.
His illustrious career has spanned nearly four decades, and he's still one of the most recognizable personalities in wrestling history. Gene Okerlund has seen and done it all. He spent time in the AWA, WCW, and of course, the WWE. When the World Wrestling Federation exploded into a cross-cultural phenomenon in the 1980s, Mean Gene was nearly as popular as the superstars themselves. Thanks in no small part to his good friend, the immortal Hulk Hogan.
Well, you know something, Mean Gene. Well, you know something, Mean Gene. You know something, Mean Gene.
This man right here, my very dear, close, personal, longtime friend, Hulk Hogan.
very instrumental in picking up the banner of Mean Gene. The chemistry between the unlikely duo was pure magic, and it led to one of the most mismatched tag teams in wrestling history.
Mean Gene in the ring, all right, crowd across the Sifuji. One, in a count of two, and a count of three. This Cena-mania, this Hulkamania going wild.
Always the consummate professional, one take Okerlund never falters under pressure. He comes off that top rope with a flying... I could do this better drunk.
No, I'm not about to lay down on my back and let someone cover me.
I thank you very much. I screwed that thing up. What? Oh, my God.
You have punished me again, Jeff. It's not Jim, it's Steve.
I told you, right? Well, I got the big mouth. She nursed me for 4 years. Do you have a name on that? Male or female?
I didn't check.
neither did I. You've already given me my haircut.
Doesn't it change your look smashing today?
You're standing behind him, I don't know.
What exactly is that?
This is the vault for the family jewels.
I didn't even say that.
My word. A little accident there. You guys can go yourself because we're out of time here, pal. With a unique sense of humor, boyish charm, the grapes, Mean Gene Okerlund is truly one of a kind. I have the honor of interviewing the biggest names in the sport. Some have been a pleasure, while others, I just had to do my job. He is blessed with a lovable charisma that remains timeless.
Hi again, Mean Gene here.
Genomania's running wild.
Mean Gene Okerlund, meaner than ever.
It's an honor to welcome the first announcer ever inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, Mean Gene Okerlund.
Well, that was that, you know. Yeah, he was 76 years old. He recently had a fall, and he had 3 kidney transplants, and his health, deteriorated, as a result of that. So, again, our thoughts and prayers are with his family, and that's that.
Yeah, my condolences and rest in peace, Mean Gene, the greatest backstage reporter in sports history, I think.
Absolutely, no doubt about that. It's not even up for debate.
Yep.
But shifting gears, let's talk about the hot stove, and right now. There's even rumors that Bryce Harper might return back to the Nationals. And up to that point, up until now, people didn't really think it was a strong possibility because the Nationals owner basically said that they gave him their best offer and, he doesn't foresee him coming back. Obviously, he's still, he's still rumored to either go to, go back to Nationals or sign with the Yankees, which was the team he grew up rooting for, just like the recently signed Troy Tulowitzki with the Yankees recently. Bryce Harper is still a free agent. He's rumored to go to the Cubs, White Sox, Dodgers. I mean, you name it. He's been rumored to go to that team, and whatever team he goes to, he's going to improve that team because, he's like, 26 years old in his prime, and with Machado, it's extremely rare to have two young superstars guys, hitting free agency at such a young age, So whatever team, is going to sign those guys, they're going to be competitive because they can't do what the Mariners did with Cano and, basically sign him and then basically don't do anything else to improve the team. And then you're basically, it's going to be like when A-Rod signed with the Texas Rangers, you
exactly
put all your money, you put all your eggs in one basket with a superstar player and you don't build a team around them. And, your teams are basically going to finish last place,
Yeah, pretty much.
Got to balance it out. And with Machado, You know, there's rumors he's coming to the Yankees. You know, apparently he liked a yes photo or something like that, and people think, oh, he's going to sign with the Yankees. I mean, there was rumors that Machado was supposed to make his announcement on New Year's Day, and, you know, that's gone now. Can't say long gone because it's a few days from that. But, yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I still think Machado's coming to the Yankees. I mean, obviously, you know, he might go to the Phillies or Cubs or Dodgers. You know, basically, Machado and Bryce Harper, those, you know, they're both rumored to go to the same teams when you think about it. You know, whatever team those guys go on, or in a crazy scenario, both of those guys going on the same team, which, I mean, there's a 99% chance that's not going to happen, because, I mean, that's, you're going to have Yankee, like George Steinbrenner era Yankee money for you to, like, you know, put a team like
sign
that,
both.
Those two,
yeah,
superstar guys like that. And obviously, I don't count the Yankees for doing that. Like I've always said, I never count when it comes to a free agency or a trade for a superstar player, until that player signs somewhere else. I never count them out with the Yankees. So both of those guys are rumored to want to go to the Yankees. So I I'm definitely not surprised if they go to the Yankees, to say the least. I just hope I just hope none of them sign in the NL East if it ain't the Mets, you know.
Well,
and obviously Bryce Harper is a National, so he's been in the NL East his whole career thus far. But yeah, we'll see what happens with that.
At this point, Harper is either going to go to three teams, I think. It's either going to be back to the Nationals,
mm-hmm.
to the Braves.
Right, yeah, I can see that, definitely.
Or to the Phillies. And those,
yeah,
all of those teams are in the National East, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
All those,
yeah,
teams
I'm pretty familiar.
So all those teams are in the running.
Is the Marlins, led by your boy, Jeter, who's Troy Tulowitzki's idol, you know, the recently signed Yankee, and of course the Mets. So,
yeah. I forgot the Dodgers. The Dodgers may be in play for.
Oh yeah, both of those guys, and
you know,
Machado was just with the Dodgers too in the World Series.
Yeah.
You know, NL's champion run.
I could see the Dodgers signing Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper, I should say.
Yeah, no doubt about that. He looks like a Dodger. I could totally see that.
He's got the California look.
Yeah, definitely. He definitely does.
Machado, that's up in the air right now. You know, it's, well, this Troy Tulowitzki signing, you know, it could be insurance if we don't sign the Machado, I guess. You know,
yeah,
still got to see what Tulowitzki has, what he has left in the tank.
I think it's a smokescreen. I think they're still going after Machado, even though, you know, the Yankees basically said that, you know, their intent is to, you know, to have Tulowitzki at, you know, at shortstop.
Yeah.
But I think it's a smokescreen, you know. We'll see what happens with that, you know, with those guys.
See, I mean, Yankees haven't been as aggressive now as they did in the past.
But you forgot one main equation that you didn't mention that's going to make them want to spend money, and that is because the Red Sox won the championship. The last time Red Sox won the championship, you know, the Yankees, you know, they shell out the money.
Yeah, but that's – and George Steinbrenner was still alive.
well, yeah.
You know, that was like, you know, a long time ago, but that's – I mean, Yankees have passed on a lot of guys. I mean, they didn't even bring back David Robertson, which I was shocked.
Yeah,
know?
I was getting right to that. Yeah, I thought he would have been a shoo-in to stay in New York, either remain with the Yankees or come to the Mets, because that's the move the Mets, in my opinion, they should have went after him for real. Because if you pair him up with Diaz and Familia, you know, I mean, come on. You would come on. That would have been, because Mets need one more guy. They need one more, like, reliable guy that, you know, that you lock it up, man. Then with the Mets, you know, their starters usually go six innings, you know. They don't usually go seven, so you would have those three-headed monsters coming at you in the seventh, the eighth, the ninth. And then, of course, you have the swing guys and Gesellman and Lugo, you know, coming out of the pen, you know. And then, of course, they need a lefty, you know. They definitely need that extra guy. I mean, I heard that they're interested in Justin Wilson from, I think he was on the Giants, I think. But yeah, he's a free agent. But yeah, Kimbrel would have been the perfect guy for. He's a lefty, but you know he's gonna want closer money. This guy I think won a 6-year deal. You know, he wants the biggest deal ever because you know he's one of the best closers in the game, bar none. So
he can be shaky at times.
Yeah, he's been a little shaky this year, but you know this guy, you know he's a world champion. So you know you definitely need a guy like that, you know, on your team. Whether he's closing or setting up, you know, the team. And I think, especially with Bodie Van Wagenen, the Mets GM, you know, bragging that we're the team to beat in the National League, you know, he gotta step up, man. Like, I mean, he has stepped up. I'll give him credit. But he's not finished, man. You know, he did get Cano and Diaz, you know he made a gutsy move to acquire the best young closer in the game right now. You got Cano, who should give you two or three, you know, good years if he's healthy, you know, a future Hall of Famer if he stays healthy and, you know, stays off the PEDs, the alleged PED use, which, I mean, I guess it's not really alleged because he got caught. But
right.
I guess for legal reasons, let's say alleged. Yeah, and then, of course, you know, they got Familia. They signed him. You know, he's had success in you know, as a Met and with the A's when he briefly got traded there. And let me see, who else did they get? Oh, yeah, Ramos. He's a good veteran catcher. Obviously, he's not JT Realmuto, but, you know, he's a very good catcher who has experience in the NL East with the Phillies and the Nationals. And, of course, he briefly played with the Rays last year. But yeah, that's a veteran guy. So yeah, I mean they still need have moves to move, you know, to make for them to be a playoff contending team. So
well, you got,
you know,
Zach Britton still out there. You got Ottavio.
Yeah, Adam Ottavino.
Adam Ottavino,
the Rocky closer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean they got those good guys that should we thought they would have been signed a long time ago, but it's like a repeat of last year. Everybody's waiting until like near spring training next month to sign, and nobody's gonna sign until the big fish Bryce Harper and Manny Machado sign. So and then with the Mets, you know. They want to sign A.J. Pollock, but he's injury-prone, and he wants, like, a 6-year deal, massive contract. So unless he comes back to Earth for, like, a 3-year deal, and, you know, they pay him, you know, they give him the money that he wants up front, maybe takes a discount, $50 million or something like that, or maybe even 20. I mean, who knows? Maybe he'll come to the Mets. But right now, they look like they're years and salary apart. Which I guess we could say the same thing about re-signing Jacob deGrom to extension.
Yeah.
There's no room news on that yet. But we'll keep our fingers crossed on that. But yeah, the Mets they need to make some moves, you know, or even sign if they're not gonna sign Pollock, sign Adam Jones. You know, he's a veteran guy. I know he's 35 years old, but you know He's a gritty guy, you know, and he stays healthy for the most part.
Yeah,
you know,
I think that'd be a good signing for the Mets.
Yeah.
You know?
So yeah, or even Mike Moustakas. I mean, he didn't have a great year, but you know, he's a guy with good defense, a world champion. Unfortunately, I know that firsthand. But, you know, that's another gutsy guy they need to get. Marvin Gonzalez looks like a guy that they would most likely go after. You know, he's a world champion with the Astros, a utility guy, kind of like Ben Zobrist a bit. You know, I could see Mets going after him. But, yeah, they need to make more moves. I mean, getting Bryce Harper and Manny Machado would definitely solidify them being a team to beat, especially with the young pitching they got, and Vargas as well, which I wish he wasn't on the team, or at least the garbage guy on the bullpen, out of the bullpen. But that's not the case. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with the Mets and the Yankees.
Yeah, hopefully one of these teams and Landy's big fish.
Yeah, hey, as long as it's not the NL East or the Yankees, I'll be fine with it. But I'm pretty sure one of these guys, or even both of these guys, will end up in the Bronx or Philadelphia or Atlanta. You know.
Yeah, well, the Phillies right now, they got money to spend, so it's, who knows?
Yeah, they got Robertson, so you know they're willing to change their franchise around. You know, they. So we'll see what happened with that. Shifting gears with the Jets, you know they as expected they fired Todd Bowles. You know, he had, you know, three losing seasons with the Jets. Not entirely all his fault, because you know McCagnan, you know, didn't give him all the pieces that he needed to be successful. You know. And plus, their play calling has been conservative, you know, and especially with a young quarterback in Darnold, you need him to give him some room to breathe. I mean, to his credit, he has played a lot better since he came back from the injury. The last couple of three or four games he's played pretty well, you know. And then with the Jets getting the third pick in the draft, and then and you top that off, that the Jets are going to also have reportedly $100 million of cap space, you know, the Jets' fortune should change. I mean, we're like, what, I'd say about a week away from them, you know, their 50th anniversary of them winning the Super Bowl 50 years ago when Joe Namath made the Super Bowl promise. You know, against the Baltimore Colts. So hopefully, you know, they can have some magic, you know, on their 51st year of existence. So let's see what happens with that. I mean, there's rumors that they might go after Antonio Brown via a trade, since he's disgruntled, you know, in Pittsburgh. They might sign his teammate, Le'Veon Bell. You know, that's another possibility. Even though Le'Veon Bell has said in the past that he would never sign with the Jets, but I guess we'll see what happens with that. What's your thoughts on the Jets?
I mean, if Jets can get one of those superstars, that'd be great. You know, Le'Veon Bell, I don't know if that's gonna happen. But I don't think they need Le'Veon Bell. I mean, they got a young running back right now in McGuire, you know, who played really well down the stretch for them. So I mean, they do have some young guys. They got Robbie Anderson, you know, and they got Darnold. So they have some young guys that they can build a team around. They definitely have to improve the offensive line. You know, they have to get better on defense as well, on special teams. You know, once they improve those areas, I mean, they should be good. I mean, and early on, they showed stretches where they can be competitive.
And yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. And now they even have a bigger move in the off season. Who's going to replace Todd Bowles? I mean, my pick would be McCarthy. You know, Mike McCarthy Green Bay. You know, Green Bay Packers. You know, he won the title, obviously. You know, with Green Bay, he's you know, he's coached, you know, Favre and Aaron Rodgers, who apparently he had a falling out with to end his tenure in Green Bay. So, yeah, I think he'd be the perfect choice. Jim Caldwell, you know, he'd be a good choice as well. But, you know, we'll see.
I'd go with Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you. Mike McCarthy is the choice for me, you know, if you could get him. You know, I know they're thinking about the Hall Brothers also, but don't look like there's interest on both sides. But, yeah, to me, Mike McCarthy is the heads and shoulders choice of who should be the next head coach of the Jets.
Yep.
Yeah, shifting gears on the Giants. You know, the Giants, you know, they had a tough season as well. You know, the only saving grace they had was Saquon Barkley. You know, they drafted him with the second pick. Obviously, there's some people who, you know, criticize that pick because there were a lot of quarterbacks available. You know, of course, Baker Mayfield was taken with the number one pick by the Browns, but, you know, they did pass on Sam Darnold, which, you know, God, thank God, you know, he came down to us at the three. And, you know, they passed up on Josh Allen and, you know, the rest of the bunch there. So they got to make a move and try to get, you know, a backup quarterback, an heir apparent. You know, they're rumored to try to go after Nick Foles from the Eagles, Teddy Bridgewater, who signed with the Jets briefly this past season, but then they traded him before the season started for picks. So that's another option. And, of course, you know, the Giants have the sixth pick in this upcoming draft. So, and, oh, yeah, and another thing, they're not going to trade Beckham. And they're still iffy on Manning. But to me, I think they're going to keep him. So, but what do you think is going to happen with your Giants?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the saving grace this year was Barkley. I mean, Barkley pretty much proved, you know, he deserved to be the top pick in the draft. I mean, he was the best rookie in the NFL, you know, by far. So, yeah, they definitely have to build this team around him. Beckham, I don't think you should trade him. I mean, Beckham's one of the top wide receivers in the league, so you definitely can't trade a guy like that, especially if you're not going to get much return for him. But I keep Beckham. And, you know, you got some building pieces. You got Evan Engram at tight end, you know. He could be a huge star in the upcoming future. But I think they should use the sixth pick, you know, to get a backup quarterback.
Definitely.
Young guy that Eli can groom and that could eventually be a starting quarterback for us. Has to be a good quarterback, too. You know, and you definitely have to fix that offensive line. The offensive line was trash this year. And they gotta improve that in the offseason, you know, and special teams. That has to be improved. But Giants in the second half, they played much better than the first half. So if they played the way they did in the second half, if they played the way they did in the second half in the first half, you know, they probably could have made the playoffs. Who knows? But too little, too late. So just have to wait till next year. But, you know, there's things to look forward to. You know, definitely have Barkley, Beckham, Engram, you know, build a team around those three guys. And, you know, there's some potential there to do some good stuff in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, shifting gears with with the Knicks. Another thing with the Knicks, back to the Knicks. Congratulations to Kevin Knox. You know, he won the Eastern Conference Rookie of the Year. So, you know, congratulations to him. He's been scoring like 18 points for the past 10 games or so. So,
congrats.
You know, congratulations to him. You know, he got off to a slow start, got injured, but he's starting to play the way he played in the summer league. And, you know, he's starting to live up to that potential. And Fizdale wanted him to meet up with LeBron James so he could give him some advice. Because Fizdale likes, he wants, you know, former players that he coached, you know, to mentor the young guys. And not to mention, you know, former Nick legends to help teach these young guys, you know, so that they could, you know, get the best out of their abilities, you know. And, you know, that's one of the best things I love about David Fizdale. You know, he embraces the past so that you can have a bright future, learn from the best. And, you know, you just pay it forward and you give back to the guys who paved the way for you. And I guess that's kind of, I guess a perfect segue to LeBron James' recent comments about, you know, about him being the greatest of all time, and Michael Jordan disagreed because Michael Jordan said he would never call himself the greatest of all time because he didn't get a chance to play against Chamberlain and those greats, you know, before him, like Jerry West. So, yeah, that's that. But
I don't think you should call yourself the greatest. You know, let the critics and let, you know, fans determine that.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally, you know, agree with that. You know, LeBron James, he's definitely the best talent right now in the game. You know, but Durant is pretty close in that. You know, he very talented guy as well. But it just comes off as being cocky. You know, just proclaiming yourself as the greatest. Like, when you look at the Knicks, you know, they all give respect to each other. Willis Reed, I think thinks Patrick is the best. And I think Patrick thinks Walker Frazier is the best or something like that. And Walker Frazier, you know, it's like they all think that from the three of them, they think each other are the best. Neither one of them, you know, is holding up that mantle that they're the best. Even though you could make a strong case for Patrick or Walker Frazier, because, you know, Walker Frazier, he was the face of the Knicks, you know, obviously with the captain. He had that awesome team, won two titles. But Patrick, man, he literally carried that team all by himself. I mean, he had some star players, but he never really had that Hall of Fame type player with him his entire career, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, you could even make a case for Patrick that he is the greatest because he didn't have that legendary Knicks teams, you know, the 70 and 73 Knicks teams, and the teams that, you know, during that era, the early 70s Knicks teams. So you could make a case for Patrick.
Yeah.
But that's the, you know, basically the news with the Knicks. And last but not least, WWE, you know, they're in a new era now. You know, they got Triple H and McMahon's running the thing again. Stop me if you haven't heard that before. But this time, they're not the authority. We are the authority. In the magic of radio, I'm holding up the parentheses side, you know, the parentheses fingers, you know. We are the authority. But but I mean, here's my thoughts on it. I appreciate that they're trying to revamp Raw. They're finally taking the claims of the fans more seriously, that, you know, Raw is horrible, to the point that Seth Rollins cut a promo on Baron Corbin, mentioning that since he's been in charge, the ratings have been horrible, which is true, and everything Seth Rollins said in that promo was basically what the fans have been saying for, like, this past month or so. Well, I guess December, into December at least, from December on. And as a result, WWE is going to try to fix Raw and SmackDown. But here's my point. SmackDown didn't really need saving. SmackDown was doing pretty good. I mean, you know, you got the AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan feud, you got Becky Lynch versus Charlotte and Asuka. Like, SmackDown is really doing good. And Paige, she was doing a phenomenal job as the GM. SmackDown did not need saving. Raw, on the other hand, needed saving. And I don't think it's the
I don't think the McMahons are the answer of them putting them back in the forefront as usual is the answer. You know what I'm saying? Like, all they need to do is replace Baron Corbin, you know, with somebody else, anybody. You know what I mean? Because the whole heel general manager authority figure has been played out. You know, it's not the Attitude Era with the corporation with the aforementioned Triple H and Vince McMahon, Shane McMahon, Stephanie McMahon. Like, it's not the early 2000s, late 90s anymore. And if you want to have authoritative heel, you can't have Baron Corbin, who's decent in the ring and a horrible mic skills. He's supposed to be intimidating, but no one's intimidated by him. Like,
yes.
people don't boo him because he's a bad guy. People boo him because he clearly sucks. And, like, there's no beating around the bush here. He's horrible. He's horrible on the mic. He's horrible the way they portray him. Like, he should not have like a quarter, at least a quarter of the airtime on the show. You know what I mean? And that's why Raw was suffering. Every week it was him and Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre jumping people. Like, it got very stale. Raw was on life support before that, but it was dead. It's like you can't even remember what happened after you watch it. It's like, it was horrible. So and another thing I don't like with this change is that they should have put someone else as the authoritative figure. They should put a baby face right now, because maybe bring back Mick Foley, maybe Kurt Angle, maybe Sting if he wanted to, but you know, someone, a fan favorite. Because right now they need to kill off this heel authoritative figure for at least 2 years. Let it cool off. Let people, you know, forget about the heels, you know, being in charge. And then, like, after a few years or so, put somebody who has that charisma, so that even when you hate them, it's like you kind of like them, but you hate them. You know what I mean? Like, you want to have someone a villain like that, or at least a villain that is like, man, I can't stand that guy. But you could see why the authority put him in that spot. Like Seth Rollins, when Seth Rollins, you know, turned on them, you could see why they put their stamp of approval on him, because he was very talented and all that stuff. But Baron Corbin is not that guy, you know. But it is what
it
is.
I like Kurt Angle as the general manager.
Yeah.
I thought he did a good job.
Yeah, him and Foley were great in their roles. Like, and Paige was good in her role in SmackDown too, even though it was brief.
Yeah.
Like, having the McMahons back was not the answer. I'm sorry, it's not the answer. Yeah. And another thing that was horrible is that they took away the number one contendership stuff. Like, you know, if you as a champion you lose the title, you get that rematch clause. They eliminated that, which doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Because in actuality, all they do is have battle royales, and they basically have the rematch again anyway. So
yeah, exactly.
It just doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? Like, come on. Like, the rematch clauses has been in the thing forever. Just leave it. Leave it in there. If you want someone to lose, just have the person fail there at their attempt to regain the title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could even do it on Raw or SmackDown, or preferably at a major a pay-per-view event where, you know, you could get the most build up to it. But I mean, to me, it's been a WWE has been a joke. So other than SmackDown hasn't been doing well, but Raw's basically doing the same thing. Dolph Ziggler versus Drew McIntyre. It's been done to death. We get it. We don't even know why Drew McIntyre was even attacked by Dolph Ziggler out of the blue, like a few weeks ago. So just kill that storyline. It's a new year, supposed to be new storylines and all that stuff. But Bray Wyatt hasn't been seen since Matt Hardy, like, semi-retired, you know, since August or so. I mean, come on. So WWE, they need to get their act together. and showcase some of these stars.
What do you think of John Cena coming back this past week?
Oh, what I think about it? It was a typical John Cena return to me. You know, I did like his interaction with, you know, Becky Lynch. She wasn't, like, you know, in awe or intimidated by his you know, superstardom. And, you know, she would fight him if WWE would let her, you know.
Yeah, she would definitely.
It kind of makes her wish that she was part of the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
You know. But, yeah, I mean, I thought SmackDown was good. Raw, on the other hand, I don't think I saw the whole thing of Raw anyway. And I, now that I think about it, but I didn't really miss it. I mean, what can you say? Raw's the same thing. So
yeah, pretty much.
I guess we'll see what happened with that. Hopefully, they'll fix it. You got any last words you'd like to say?
Just check out my show, IMAX, on Saturday nights / Sunday mornings on Fox Talk Radio, and come back here, check out Sports Urban Legend.
Every
Saturday is 11.
At 11, and check out my YouTube show, Sports Urban Legend TV. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramon. I'll see you guys next week. Peace.